Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Paul Savage on this Wednesday in for Tommy. Glad to have the big man in the chair for another Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Paul's got a nice one on. We're just keeping the trend alive here, trying to make everybody's day a little bit better. We appreciate everybody out there. We know it's a movement. We know you're joining in. Your coworkers, your colleagues are probably wondering what's going on, but we've got your back here on another Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We got a big show coming up for you today. Another Royals win, a big win, and they're continuing to play well. We'll get into it, what it means, what we like from it a lot when it's a shutout win of the Yankees, a little bit historic in a few ways there. We'll get into that. There's a lot of you know, different things Paul wants to get into today. We'll try to do some of that. We've got Shreya Slada coming up, our KU insider. He's coming up bottom of this hour. To look ahead, look back and look ahead, because we've heard from KU since that loss at Illinois, and now they got another big one against UNLV coming. So we'll talk about that with Shreyas. We'll also have Kevin Saul in, Wichita State's athletic director, top of the next hour to get all caught up on the things and the happenings with the Shockers. I know they have a groundbreaking for the softball facilities coming up. Volleyball is in full swing, so we'll get all caught up on Wichita State athletics as well. Later in the program, your calls always welcome here on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. We will give away a little HTO later in the program, so make sure to stay tuned for your opportunity to win that free tea and coffee. All kinds of good stuff coming up today. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. It is a Paul Savage Wednesday. Paul, how are you this morning?
I am good, and I'll tell you how committed I am to Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I might wear a different one, but I'm going to wear a Hawaiian shirt to football practice today. You know something? Ooh. You either believe in this movement or you don't believe in this movement. It's really simple. You do or you don't. I'm a believer. I'm wearing my shirt to football practice. That's what I'm doing.
And you're around young people now. You're helping coach out at Wichita East.
That's right.
Massive game coming up this Friday against Northwest.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, the Hawaiian shirt movement started a long time ago. We're just bringing it to Sports Daily. Kids are wearing Hawaiians these days. Mm-hmm. They'll probably think you're the coolest guy. They probably already do.
Oh, of course.
So I know you have a lot to relate to with the young people out there.
I do. Yeah, that's right. But, you're exactly right.
If you want to see these beauties we're rocking today, you can always watch the program. Of course, on 12 News Connected, loving that partnership. Yep. You can find it there. You can find it on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. It's all there for you.
Absolutely.
You will not get any debate commentary on the program today. So that's another reason probably a lot of people out there want to stay tuned. We have nothing for you there.
Well, what can we even add?
No hot takes on the drama up in the Chiefs luxury suites of the, you know, who's endorsing and liking. I mean, okay, I just can't. We're trying to do a little show research, Paul, and all I can find are endorsements and drama, and I'm like, come on now, like, so you don't have to worry about that here. This is a safe space for you. We won't get into any of that.
Good.
just only the fun here on Sports Daily. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline for you if you'd like to call 869-1240. I think that gets us set for the day. Paul, let's start with the Royals because we have Shreya Slada coming up, and we'll get into KU football as well in just a little bit. And I know you have thoughts on KU football, but the Royals get another win last night, 5-0. So if we look at this series now, and look, it was perfection, right? You had Lugo going 7 innings, which is what the Royals would really like to see their starters do. Not only that, he was brilliant through 7 innings. They got it to Bubich. Then they got a big lead. They didn't need Urcig. It was great. The offense picked it up. Salvador Perez, a couple RBIs. Bobby Witt, you know, he's still not hot, Paul. By his own standard, he's still... I don't even want to use the word slumping, but he's not, you know, he's not at full steam right now, but he picks up an RBI. He has another run. He scores from first to home on a double. Like, all the little things he's still affected the game with are still happening. So you like to see that a little bit, but it's happening. Tommy Pham continues to be good for them. He had a home run, but, you know, he's just getting on base, doing the things that they brought him in to do. And it looks, it continues to look good right now for the Royals. They are 3.5 back of the Guardians, who are on a little heater themselves here, a very small one, but they continue to make noise in that wild card, Paul. And Detroit is pesky, but Boston and Seattle both lose yesterday, so you gain a little ground on them. It's looking good for the Royals to reach the postseason. And, you know, you don't want to count your eggs before they hatch, but if we imagine Kansas City there, Paul, what we've really been doing is, like, how are they playing? And right now they're playing really well, and they look like a team again that can not only reach the postseason, but can win postseason games.
Right. And how beautiful a game did Seth Lugo pitch last night? I mean, a three-hitter, seven innings of three-hit baseball. Man, yep. It just masterful. Control of every ball he was throwing. Let me ask you a question. This is, of course, no right or wrong answer, but I'm hard-pressed to try to think, is there a pitcher in the American League? I'm not going to go National League because you could probably find one over there. There's some really good pitching going on in the National. But right now in the American League, would you take any other pitcher at this moment right now over Seth Lugo? Because I think you might maybe take one, but I'll tell you what, you'd be hard-pressed to find two or three, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this was Lugo. This was Cy Young Lugo, right? This
was
three All-Star break. This is the and
that's right.
He's heating up, right? He's all of these pitchers are reaching limits in their innings that they have never really seen before. But that's now three great starts in a row for Lugo. It's 4 out of 5 of his last appearances. And that's the momentum you need to see. If Lugo is this, right, if he's given them seven innings in a postseason game, that's against the Yankees at their place yesterday, right? Like, I don't want to overlook, that's against the Yankees at their place that he did that, right? Wow. He did it against the Guardians. He did it in Houston. His last three starts, Paul, are against teams that the Royals would potentially see in the postseason. He went seven innings in all three of them and gave up a combined 2 runs over 21 innings against Houston, Cleveland, and the Yankees. Houston and the Yankees were on the road. So if you tell me that the Royals can get that the rest of the way and through the postseason out of their ace pitcher, I'm going to tell you the Royals have a really good chance to make noise, not only get to the postseason, but make noise. And it had been a while for Lugo, right? Before that, it had been much rockier. And so I want to hope here that he is through that sort of threshold. He made it over the peak there of, it says, more innings than he's ever thrown. And now he's back in a groove, because that, you know, now that we are seeing the Royals look like they're going to get there, right? It would take a catastrophe for them not to, every day that goes by in the schedule and every win that they get. If we see things like this, it gives you hope that they can not only get there, but they can win. Now, you know, Vinny Pasquantino is not going to be there in the beginning. Mike Gillespie of Kings of Kauffman told us yesterday it's looking like an outside chance at a divisional series round, most likely not for the wild card. And then as they make their way further through, the chances go up. So they're probably not having him at the beginning. By the way, if you missed any of that with Mike Gillespie yesterday, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. It just looks like, Paul, they could round into form right at the right time. The timing on this has all been good. They went through that rough week. Hopefully they don't have anything like that left in them, and they get this kind of starting pitching. If they get this kind of starting pitching, which is really rounding back into form, they're going to be a very tough out in the postseason for any team. Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that you're through that killer part of the schedule. I mean, the Royals had a few moments coming up. You know, you got the Yankees. They had Cleveland. They had Minnesota. Just in the last few weeks, I mean, it's been a tough schedule. But now you're going to go. You're going to go to Pittsburgh. You're going to have Detroit. Detroit's playing a little better. San Francisco, Washington, Atlanta. Atlanta's competing for a playoff. So I think that. But overall, this isn't the schedule that we were worried about, what, a month ago? Because that was last month. Was
they're almost
month.
Through it now. Yeah. If they win today, I believe, and Tommy's been pointing this out, if they can find a way to win this finale, the rubber game, they will have gone 10-10 over that 20-game stretch we've been dreading.
Right.
And that is what we hoped for. You know, that is what you kind of wished that they would be able to get to if they were going to reach the postseason, and that's coming true in a lot of ways. Even if they don't win today, they're obviously still in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. They've been getting help from the teams around them, but man, it's just like, and I've been at the fair, Paul, the last couple of days, and I've talked to a lot of Royals fans. Uh-huh. And everybody's still just a little bit guarded. Like you don't want to jinx it and all of these things, but man, it's looking good. Like everybody's got the same reaction. Like 100 out of 100 people I talked to about the Royals, it's all the same thing. It's like, what, you know, I'll see a Royals hat or Royal shirt and I'll kind of give them, hey, what do you think about the Royals? And everybody can't give you that look. Like, it's looking good, but I don't want to. And I'm like, I get it.
Yep. I don't want to be the one.
I'm superstitious. I hear you. I don't want you to do that either. But it's been good. And they look great. That was a great game. And the reality is, Paul, they shouldn't have lost the game two nights ago, right? Like, they shouldn't have lost the opener either.
Right.
And so you look at it now, and I know it only matters if you win or lose, but when we're looking at things that should tell us things about the postseason, they beat the Yankees in relatively dominating fashion yesterday, and they should have beat them in the opener. And this is a team that's going to be in the postseason. So we have to start looking at that too. They're faring well against potential playoff opponents, and they can hang. I said, they're not outmatched by anybody. Yeah. They're playing in what's turned into one of the better divisions in baseball, and they've been there all year long.
Right.
Hang, man. Yeah. Hang.
I got one disappointment, though, coming up with Pittsburgh. Paul Skenes isn't pitching. He's kind of phenomenal. I want to see him pitch against the Royals. I think it would be fun. I would have liked to have seen it. As of right now, he's not scheduled, but I wish he was, but he's not.
The Royals are happy that he's not.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about. I'm just talking.
No, I know. I get. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't. I actually don't disagree with you. You want to get to see him. I want a chance every time you get. He's that kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
Okay. The IHOP hotline's open for you, 869-1240. We want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up here at KFH each and every morning, and all the Odyssey stations around the building. We'll have that. We have Shreya Slotta coming up bottom of the hour. We'll come back. We'll hit a quick hitter there. And then we'll get Shreyas later in the hour as well to talk a little KU football. That's all coming. It's Albrook. It's Savage. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday on Sports Daily. Thanks for participating. We'll be right back. All that Royals baseball coverage is presented by T-Mobile. All the baseball coverage. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Paul Savage, Jacob Albrocht here. It is Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I would imagine that Jad has his best Hawaiian on. Just going to pretend that he does.
Yeah,
anyway.
Let's pretend.
Yeah. All right, Paul. We haven't talked. You haven't been on since Friday. You were right up there, if not our picks winner. You didn't get the perfect week, but that means you got KU and K-State right, though. We'll talk to Shreya Slotta. We'll set this up here for a couple of minutes before he joins us. KU's talked this week, and I thought something that was interesting when Lance Leipold talked earlier this week. Everybody on the planet is furious at coaching decisions because they were brutal offensively to throw the ball when Illinois couldn't stop the run, let alone on first down, the three interceptions. KU was better than Illinois, yet they lost the game. Coaching decisions were perhaps the biggest part of that. Mm-hmm. But Lance Leipold brought up an interesting comment, and he said, you know, some of those were RPOs, and Jalen would probably like to have those back and run the ball. And I thought that was really interesting. One, I think it's a defense of his offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator who is in, you know, hot water with every fan for KU right now. But then it makes me think, too, if that's the case, Paul, and you've been on the sidelines, you know the processes of play calling and decision making and these things. If the first time Jalen Daniels makes the wrong decision, at that point, still, shouldn't you say, instead of an RPO, this is a handoff? Like, we're not going to give you the option anymore. I mean, especially by the third time, right? Like, it's not an RPO. Run the ball. Like, we have the lead. They cannot stop the run. They have not been able to stop the run all game. Run the ball. Not RPO. We don't even want you to have the option, let alone that Jalen Daniels doesn't look very good right now. You don't get the choice. Run the ball. I don't want to totally let anybody off the hook because of that, because they still kept calling RPOs when they probably should have taken the decision out of Jalen Daniels' hands at that point.
And you can even take it a step further. Not only will you run the ball when we say run the ball, you're going to run the ball with the designated ball carrier. In other words, you know, you can literally can take, you know, the option game out. You can take, my reads, those kind of things. You can take all that stuff out. And basically, you will have a designated ball carrier. It might be you, but it will be a designated ball carrier. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, that's a chance to get back in the groove of things. It's a chance to be able to knock off the rust. I mean, it's early in the season to get whatever it is knocked off your offensive game. There's nothing wrong with calling out who's going to carry the ball, or whether you're going to throw the ball, or which receiver, you know, you're going to designate as the number one receiver. There's nothing wrong with that, Jacob. Absolutely nothing wrong. It's done all the time by really good football teams. So with that being said, I look at this situation and I think, well, you've got a talented quarterback. I know there's a talented quarterback in this situation. So here's what you got to do. Bring him along. Get his legs back underneath him. I mean, let's face it. He's kind of an upperclassman, but reps, he's not exactly flush with reps in his career. Would you agree with that? He's not necessarily, you know, had 100 snaps every game. I mean, that's just not what he's doing. That's at all. So there's nothing wrong with designating and scripting scripting. You know, most college football coaches have the first three or four series almost scripted. Just, you know, play by, this is how it's going to go. This is what we're going to do. We get a first down that goes to this, you know, so on. And so, I mean, it's really scripted. Nothing wrong with that, Jacob. Nothing wrong at all.
No, not when you have a lead and it's very clear that they can't stop you. Mm-hmm. Like, they cannot stop you. Mm-hmm. So just go. And again, Tree Slotta joins us in a few minutes. We'll ask him about that.
Okay.
So we'll get into that. For K-State, it's almost like you had the opposite happening, right? You had K-State fans like, open it up, stop being so conservative. There has been a little bit of like a role reversal between the two teams this year that we're not used to, where KU needs to play to its strength and be more conservative, and K-State probably needs to air it out a little bit. And I kind of agree. Right. I think there was a lot of heat for Dylan Edwards not getting the ball more. Something that came up interesting, and we could talk to Tim Fitzgerald about this tomorrow in what, you know, the K-State people are evaluating, the coaches and everything. They're just not running as many plays right now as they had been in the past. Why? I think a part of that is because the opposition, and Tulane specifically, had long sustained drives, took their ability to run a long play. So they may not be able to even get to the things that they want to get to yet. But you see Arizona coming up on the schedule, and you gotta bring the kitchen sink in that game, right? Especially if you want any at-large, you know, considerations if you're K-State. So it has been strange, and I don't know if you feel the same way. And I've mentioned it a few times. It's like there's a role reversal. What we're used to seeing with K-State sort of now feels like it should be KU's identity: dominate the lines, play great defense, start with the run, and then when you look at the other side with K-State, a little shakier on the lines, perhaps. The defense has not been as good. The secondary certainly has not been as good. They have the dynamic quarterback. Open it up.
Right.
And track meet everybody. It is a complete 180 from what we're used to seeing out of these two schools.
You know, I hadn't looked at it that way, but I think you're exactly right. I mean, How many years? I mean, we've almost gotten to the point where K-State's going to match up with most teams they play in the trenches, and they're going to usually dominate at least one side, the majority of one side of the ball or the other. And that's what they do. That's their name. That's their identity. That's how K-State wins football games. That's how all football teams win football games, is domination. That's not necessarily what we've had with KU. And we have had shows where, oh, man, we vented a little bit on the offensive line. They're not physical. They can't pass pro, all kinds of things. But that's a really good point. The roles have sort of switched a little bit, haven't they? And K-State isn't that dominant team. By the way, K-State was darn lucky to win that game. That was a phantom call. K-State really probably shouldn't have won that football game. Now, I don't know what would have happened.
That call has been debated for sure.
Yeah.
And it was people not are a trying call. To make a case on both sides. Yeah, no, I hear you. But it takes those kinds of things to get through a season, especially if you're going to have it be a special season.
By the way, did I not call it right? I said Tulane was going to be a really good football team,
offense. They were a great offense. I was very impressed with their offense. I'm not sure, and this I've been having this internal debate all week. I'm not sure. I don't think Tulane's better than Illinois. They're both pretty good. I bet you Illinois is middle of the pack at worst in the Big Ten, and I bet you Tulane wins that league.
I was pretty impressed with Tulane. Yeah, I was too.
Okay. Let's get Shreya Slada in here to help us break down KU and look ahead, because UNLV, you know, sort of it's a rematch game. They've been pretty good this year. I think their expectations are pretty high. We'll get Shreya's thoughts on looking back and looking ahead on that. That's coming up next. Let's set up our text contest. You can text to win right now. Listeners can enter by sending the keyword T to the short code 20357. What that will get you is a free iced tea from HTO, either Wichita location, East or West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors of iced tea to choose from. We're going to get you a free coffee as well. Free rain coffee, iced or hot, all kinds of special drinks, including the two new fall specials, the Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or the Mocha Butter Pecan Latte, iced or hot. Check them out. Good luck, everybody. That's tea to the short code 20357. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily coming your way right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Wednesday. We're rocking and rolling through hour number one, and we are happy to bring in our KU insider, Shreya Slada, to join the program. Shreya's work can be found at the KC Star. Glad to have Shreyas in again this week. It is a, Shreyas, it's not a good week. And I think there was on Saturday, especially after the game, there was very much a sky is falling mentality, at least among the KU fans that I communicate with during these games, kind of get the, you can fight. But the reality is, I don't think an at-large is coming out of the Big 12 anyway. So they still got to win the Big 12 championship. And I do think we have seen enough early on to maintain that this is a team that will be contending for a Big 12 title. The defense has been fantastic. The run game is as good as we thought, but maybe even the offensive line is, I would say, ahead of what we thought. Jalen Daniels is clearly not. He is behind, way behind where we thought he would be. But there are enough things there. They were better than Illinois, right? It's a very frustrating loss, but they were a better team than Illinois. I don't know if you feel this. I don't take anything away and say, no, they're not going to contend for a Big 12 title. I still absolutely think that they can.
I was talking to Carter Stanley about this, former KU quarterback that I do film reviews. And, you know, it was a weird loss because it's – how much of the issues that we saw on Saturday are they going to repeat this Friday? And then I can determine where KU's at, because I don't know if this is the version of Jalen Daniels we're going to see. I don't think he's going to throw three picks, but if he's not the 2022 version or what he was the first three games last year, I think KU could be in trouble. If he's struggling to throw balls to the right places, you know, accuracy decisions, underthrown balls, he just didn't really look like himself, and I'm willing to kind of throw this game away. It's a wash. Worst game of his career. It happened. That's fine. But he has to look good against UNLV. And we were going back and looking at since Jeff Grimes took over. Obviously, the UNLV bowl game last year, they had him there, but not quite calling plays. But the quarterbacks combined between him and Jason Bean in that time, I think they have 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I don't know if that's just careless decision-making part on the guys that have played, or it's just the offense hasn't really found the rhythm that they hope to find. But, you know, I think it's too early to count Kansas out from the Big 12 contention, like you guys said. But for me, that loss was an alarming loss because I think they were the better team than Illinois. I think they had themselves a chance to win that game multiple times, and they blew it because of careless errors or mistakes, whether it was Jalen or even the defense once or twice. And just looking at what the schedule is, everything that we thought, like games that we thought were easy, are not as easy as we once thought they were. West Virginia is now a tough game. UNLV could be a toss-up. I really don't know if they'll cover 7. You know, the spread is 7 points. Like, I really don't know what Kansas team is going to show up on Friday. We know Lance Leipold does a good job of bouncing back after losses. We know that, you know, this team has a lot of promising parts to it. The defense looks better. The offensive line is pretty good. The running game is good. But at the end of the day, if Jalen Daniels isn't the Jalen Daniels that we thought he was, then Kansas could be in trouble.
At the University of Kansas, I think to myself to this point that compared with past years, this is still a much more physical football team than it's been over the years. You know, this was an offensive line that I thought had some good moments. They had some physicality, a lot more physicality than they've had in past years. I think you would probably agree with that. Just observing, just looking at line surge, looking at coming off the ball, those kind of things. You know, that's something to work with, though, Sharice. That is something that you know, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't have it, it is tough. And I'm talking about the ability to control the line of scrimmage. If you don't have that ability, the season's long for any team. And I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, that need to get better. But I think the possibilities are there to get better because you got an offensive line that I think is okay. At least in comparison to where they've been over the years, it's a lot better in my opinion. Is that one way to look at this? If you're looking at the overall picture, you got a shot because you can be physical.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we look at the offensive line, like you said, it's more physical. They did a great job of creating some holes for the running backs. I think the big thing is the play calling going to give the ball to Devin Neal and Daniel Highshot more, right? Like, I wrote a story about this yesterday, but I went back and looked at the stats and some of the games and stuff like that. In the fourth quarter, Devin Neal touched the ball twice. Jalen Daniels went 3 of 8. In comparison, Illinois ran the ball 12 times. And they also had one quarterback scramble. They completely dominated the time of possession in the fourth quarter. They were dominant the entire fourth quarter. Kansas didn't really have a chance even on that last drive. I think the offensive line is a lot better than I thought they'd be after the guys who have left and you know, they brought in new guys. I think that was a worry of mine coming in this year. I think the running game looks even better than last year. A lot in chance because of Devin Neal being Devin Neal and Daniel Highshot being Daniel Highshot. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep going back to this. But my belief in Kansas football hinges on the ability of Jalen Daniels being a top 15, top 10 quarterback in the nation. If he's not that, you can throw out the Big 12 championship title chances out the window, in my opinion.
So that's what's been interesting to me now, and I don't know enough about Illinois to make that sort of declaration, but I almost think the identity has shifted a little bit for what I thought of KU football this year. I think they may be a better running team than I thought. They're certainly going to be a better defense than I thought, and I just wonder if that's not enough, if Jalen Daniels can make better decisions. It is very hard for me to imagine that we're going to see 2022 Jalen Daniels out there now. And I don't know that there's any leash or anything, or there needs to be a quarterback change. That stuff's so far down the road. What I'm trying to figure out is, can they be a run first defense team with Jalen Daniels scaling back what we've seen of the best of Jalen Daniels and being less than that? I think they're better in those other areas than I thought they would be. I'd at least give it a shot based on what we've seen so far. And that takes us to the play calling issue for Grimes. But, And here's what I'm glad we have you in here, because you were in the room with Leipold this week when he basically informed us that some of those were RPOs, not called passes. Now, okay, if that's the case, still, fool me once, all right. By the third time, you don't give him the RPO. You say, run the dang ball. Like we're not going to, like, we've seen this song and dance now. This is not your option anymore. You run the football. So I still think it was a play calling issue, even if it wasn't as direct as maybe we thought it was.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, until we see what this season becomes, everyone is going to be watching what's happening down at Penn State and wondering what is happening over there. Because Andy Kotelnicki, you can say whatever about Penn State defense. You can say whatever about what the talent level they have there, which seems to be better than even Kansas. But he's cooking down there. And unfair or fair, everyone's going to compare Jeff Grimes to him. And the eyeballs are magnified this week, especially against a UNLV team that doesn't have the best defense. If they come out and they throw the ball 100 times, it feels like, it could be another long week. And to me, like, this is another trap game. Like, Illinois was a trap game. Like, this is a game that if Kansas doesn't bring their A game on the offensive end, they could lose. Because UNLV can run the heck out of the ball. They put up 500 yards on Utah Tech. I know Utah Tech is Utah Tech, but that's 500 yards. They have a quarterback that can scramble that has given Kansas traditionally the last 2 years a ton of trouble. They did a good job against Illinois. Let's see what happens against UNLV. They have an All-American preseason wide receiver. So the secondary is going to have their hands full. It's a game to me that it's stupid to think about what happened in December, because it's just a completely two different teams. Okay. And I think there is a path to victory, like you said, where you run the ball and Jalen Daniels is not counted on to be the Jalen Daniels of the old. My issue with that is when you get later in the season and the wins become more important and we're getting towards the chance of them trying to get to a Big 12 title game, is that good enough to beat some of these teams? Is that good enough to beat Iowa State? Is that good enough to beat Kansas State? Is that good enough to beat Baylor? You know, like, those three teams could all be games that could help flip them from title contention to making the Big 12 title. And if you make the Big 12 title, which is way, way ahead of time, and I'm like, you know, I think we, as people who have looked at Kansas, have talked about it too much that, oh, we, like, I'm guilty of this too. Oh, I think this team can contend for a Big 12. I don't even know that anymore. Like, let's go back to, can they beat UNLV this week? Sure. Because if they lose to UNLV this week, they're tilted. They're falling down. They're playing West Virginia in the road. And things can be, you could be 1-3 heading to Arizona State just like that. And I'm not trying to say the sky is falling. We're not there yet. But let's take a step back. Let's look at UNLV. Let's not talk about Big 12 title contention. I mean, Carter Stanley told me it best. Let's not talk about Big 12 title until the end of October.
But Trius, the problem with this year is there's never been expectations like this in a long time. I just think you can't not look at that. That's what people wanted and expected. Inside the locker room, totally. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yep, don't look ahead. You can't look ahead. Man, the fan base is not going to not look ahead. Because that's what that was the promise of this season, right? That's what everybody's so excited about. And I just don't think all that much has changed other than Jalen Daniels is, whether he gets there or not, he's not there yet. I don't know if he's going to get there. That's where I'm more curious, because we have seen teams. We've seen Kansas State do it in years where they haven't been great at quarterback, but they've dominated the lines. They've been a good defense. They take care of the ball and they run the ball. And it's been good enough. And I think that's what KU's identity is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I get why fans do it, why media does it. I mean, like, I said, I'm guilty of thinking about what's ahead, because that's natural life. I think I will say this to the KU fan base. I think basketball has spoiled people beyond belief. And we put these expectations on this football team that maybe they're not quite there yet. Okay. And I'm guilty of it, just as like anybody else is guilty of it, because I had them winning 11 this year. Now I don't know if they're going to win 9. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility to say that, because to me, like, if Jalen Daniels is not making the right decisions, not even about throwing interceptions, how much can you trust him to make the right decision on options? How much can you trust him to, you know, not play hero ball out there? We've seen him do that a few times against Nevada last year. We know he's a very talented quarterback. We know he's very good. But whatever happened against Illinois, whether it was them just being confused by coverages, does that mean he's going to struggle against Big 12 teams when they disguise coverages really well? I don't know that. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. And that's a big weakness to point out. And I think this team is going to have to be as balanced as possible for them to win a Big 12 title. I don't think you can run Devin Neal, Dan Hyshaw to the ground. As much as Kansas fans think that is the solution to the problem, I think it's going to be, yes, you need to run them more, but you need Jalen to be at least 80% of as he could as he was. Right now, we're not close. He's making terrible decisions with the football. He's doing things that we've never seen Jalen Daniels do since he was a freshman. And if you go back and you watch that Illinois game from last year, that tape looks like a guy who should play on Sundays. You watch the tape from today, and you're going to sit there, and people will be like, well, if you've never seen Jalen Daniels play, and be like, is this guy good enough to start a quarterback? And I obviously, he is. It's not about that. It's about, for me, seeing what makes him successful and being able to make up and minimize some of the things that he's doing. Like, why was every shot on in the game a deep ball or a screen pass? What happened to the intermediate passing game that he was so good at the last 2 years? Why does that disappear? Where are the tight ends? They haven't been involved. I know they don't have Mason Fairchild anymore, but Jared Casey should be involved more. Trevor Cardell should be catching the ball more, right? Those two things. And what is up with this hyper-targeting? Why is he hyper-targeting Luke Grimm? He 7 of his 9 completions in the first half was to Luke Grimm. The one interception, that first one, was a pass to Luke Grimm. The second half, I think he did the same thing with Lawrence Arnold. I don't know what is happening, but it doesn't look like he's going through his reads as well as he was. And it looks like he's more predictable as a quarterback than he's ever been. And I don't know if it's a mental thing or if that's just Illinois' defense being that good. And I guess we'll find out Friday. But to me, the biggest thing I want to see on Friday is Jalen Daniels looking as good as you think he can look, or at least close.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because, you know, for a Jalen Daniels-led football team like the University of Kansas is, right now I'm sitting here looking at the schedule and I'm thinking to myself, this might be just about as good a schedule as you can actually have. I mean, considering the fact you don't have Utah, you don't have Arizona, you don't – there are several teams that Texas Tech, I don't know where they're going to be, but they may end up being a pretty good – not on schedule, sure, isn't it? And this is – one of those times, and I hate to put it like this, but if ever there was a year, you know, that old saying, if ever there was a year, this is the year where the University of Kansas really has an advantage with the schedule. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is hard. It's going to be tough. Obviously, you got 21-ranked Iowa State, and what a finish they had. I watched the fourth quarter of that game on Sunday, on Saturday against Iowa. You know, Iowa State's a good football team, but I don't know that they're as good as Utah. I don't know, you know, I don't know that they wouldn't be but about a third or fourth place team in the Big 12, but the schedule is so advantageous. This is the year you take advantage of this kind of thing because, you know, you got the Houstons, you got BYUs, you got Colorado, you got Baylor. I hate to throw Baylor in my own school in there, but that's not exactly murderer row. It's now or never, isn't it?
No, I absolutely agree. Like, this schedule was made for them to make that Big 12 title.
Thank you.
Yes. I was talking to Carter about this before we were filming. You know, every year, programs like Kansas have this opportunity every 15 to 20 years where they can make a special magical run to win a Big 12 title and maybe the college football playoffs. If it's this, it's this year or bust for Kansas. 30 guys are leaving next year. I don't know if they're going to win 5 next year. Lance has not been able to get a recruiting class as good as Les Miles. If you go back and look at the last 3 classes he's brought in, this is probably the most successful one so far, the 2024 class that just came in. I think they know that. I think the seniors know that. I think Jalen knows that. And, like, it's one of those things that, like, they have to take advantage of a weak schedule. But I also don't think the schedule is as weak as I thought it was 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, Arizona State doesn't look like the worst team in the conference. Right. Baylor's going to be a tough out in Waco. You know, Colorado probably will fall apart by the time – who knows if Shador's even playing. So I think they'll win that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Kansas State game was already a toss-up. But now whatever we have, these problems that we've kind of expanded and kind of come out, who knows? And, like, I'm not trying to scare KU fans – but I think I jumped the wagon a little bit on 11 wins. Maybe I'm wrong and they just go on an incredible run and I turn out to be correct. But I think we're in for a couple of doozy games where they might drop that they should have won.
And back to the original point, it's okay. 12 teams get in. The Big 12 champion gets in. It's not the season's over after an Illinois loss. Doesn't really matter. If you get into a Big 12 championship game and you win, you're in. That could come, I think, this year with three or four losses. I just don't think anybody in the league is going to be able to do that. So sky's not falling. There are certainly a lot of things to figure out. All right, Trius, a big one, Friday Night Football. What do you have for us at the KC Star this week?
Yeah, I have my film breakdown kind of coming out later today. This Sunday, I should have a kind of a small feature on College Football 25 and Kansas football, and talk to a bunch of guys about them playing the game and if it's helped them on the field and stuff like that, which would be fun. We'll have my prediction come out in the next few days. Obviously, mailbag, typical game coverage. I'm excited for it. I think it should be a fun, high-scoring matchup on both ends, and I think this will be a really good test for the KU defense against a good offensive side.
Shreya Slotta, follow him on X. Follow his work at the KC Star. We appreciate it. It's a crazy week for KU football. I think things are going to settle in. From a betting perspective, I love the under, and I think I might like to lay the points. I think KU is going to respond this week.
I think so too, and I hope so because my mentions were a dumpster fire on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'd like to them not have the fire Jeff Grimes and all this other stuff in my mentions. And Kansas fans, when they lose, are the most miserable beings on earth.
Boy, that's
so
true.
So that is every college football fan. Nobody has adjusted yet to the fact that it's a 12-team playoff.
That's true.
Nobody has. It's just not that big a deal. Unless you thought they were going to run the table and go unbeaten and be an at-large, it's not that big a deal. A big deal is that they fix it before they start playing conference games. All right, Shreyas, appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Slotta. Find all that work at the KC Star. Yeah, look, I had the same reaction from KU fans. It's not over. It doesn't matter. In reality, it doesn't, unless you really thought KU was running the table or would have one loss going into the final week of the season.
Right.
Loss is irrelevant.
Quick question. Yes, KU fans, bigger bad losers than K-State fans?
Nah, everybody's a bad loser when it comes to sports, Paul.
I got you.
I mean that. Like, I promise you, if K-State didn't get that done against Tulane, they'd have been just as miserable in agony of defeat.
Oh, probably worse. Yeah.
Well, and especially in college football, right? Because forever we've been trained to say one loss and the season's over. So everybody, like, that's the reaction of, are you kidding me? You don't think Ohio State and Michigan fans, like all these fans of these schools, like, that's why college football is going to be so much better this year. Mm-hmm. We got to adjust to it still. We got to retweak our psyches to understand that. It's okay.
I got you.
It's not who's the best team at the end of the year.
Good point. You're exactly right.
We'll come back. Kevin Saul joins us. No football there at Wichita State. We got volleyball in session. We'll see what the latest on the softball facilities is. They've got a big day coming up. We get the latest on Shocker Athletics when we return. It's all Brockton Savage. It's Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
Hi, and welcome into hour number two, everybody, here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrocht. It is Paul Savage. Kevin Saul joining us here for a bi-weekly visit. Get all caught up on Shocker Athletics. Want to tell you that if you miss anything from this interview or any others, you can always go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Jad puts those out in podcasted form, so you can always check those out. Always available for you. We welcome in Kevin Saul. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Jacob, how are you?
We're doing good. Look, it's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We know you're on the road, but we're going to pretend you're participating alongside us here. So, it's festive. The weather's nice. We'll take a little rain, but it's the fall sports season. We got football back. We're ready for it. You guys have volleyball back right now. Nice win over Little Rock out there in Arkansas. Another big weekend coming up in, you know, the biggest hotbed of volleyball anywhere, and Nebraska looming. How excited are you guys to get up to Lincoln just to be a part of what I assume will be an incredible volleyball environment? When is that? That starts tomorrow.
That's right. Hey, first off, I didn't get the memo on Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. I certainly would have participated with you guys. We need to keep that going through February when baseball goes to Hawaii. Maybe you and Paul can join us.
Hey!
Listen, we can share a seat if it makes that happen.
Oh my gosh.
Right there on the big man's lap, and we'll get there.
We'll have fun.
Yeah. We'll make sure to get a picture of that and put it on social media. No, we're sitting at 3-3, and I talked to Coach Lamb yesterday morning. It's been a gauntlet of a schedule, as you guys know. We've played three teams that are either receiving votes or, you know, in the top 20 in the country in Indiana, Kansas, and Arkansas. Played some really competitive matches, and it doesn't get any easier this weekend up in Lincoln. We've got number 14, Arizona State. We play Long Beach State, and then we've got number 5 in the country, Nebraska. So I love the way Coach Lamb and the staff schedule. I know our young women on our program are really excited about it. There's not a better environment in the country, so it'll be a great experience for them. And look forward to see how they compete.
You know, that Nebraska experience, I'm really excited about that because that's such a special. They have got that volleyball program going to the point where, what is it, 20,000 per game on average? It's something huge like that, Kevin, as you know. And, I know that I keep thinking to myself, you know, if Nebraska can do it, Wichita State can do it. Because I'll tell you what, the Roundhouse is one of those great places to come watch volleyball. I've seen many a game in the Roundhouse with volleyball. And, you know, there's nothing. And we see those occasions where, the Roundhouse is full of people and it's loud. It's like a basketball game. That's what I want to see out of Wichita State. Oh, I just can't wait for that to happen. I'm convinced that it can happen, Kevin.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. Yeah, we play at the Bob Devaney Sports Center, which is capacity is a little over 8,300 up there in Lincoln, and they sell that thing out for volleyball for sure, and should be an absolutely great environment. If you were watching last year, Nebraska put on a match in Memorial Stadium and sold that thing out as well. So certainly Coach Cook's been doing it a really, really long time at Nebraska. I go back to my first year working in athletics up in Manhattan. We hosted a first and second round volleyball NCAA championship in 2001. And Nebraska came down to K-State because of some geographic components with 9/11. And they brought the entire city of Lincoln with them. So it's a great following, a great program. And I know the young women in our program are looking forward to it.
You may know this. I certainly don't. Like, how is the American looking? These non-conference games, it's going to be a while before, I believe it's September 25th, and the conference season sort of starts, which is what we need to be stacking the Shockers up against. I don't know what, you know, it's a tough non-con. We knew that coming in. How does the rest of the league look, and do you have any sense of how the Shockers are stacking up in the American?
Let's see it. Well, if you buy into preseason picks based on media and coaches' selections, we sit at second preseason in the league. So, only the league is projecting us in the top third there. We got a lot of work from Billy Graham's Rice and North Texas, and there'll be some really quality programs there. We're really looking forward to, at the end of the year, guys, we're going to be hosting the American Athletic Conference Championship. As you know, we finished second in the league last year to SMU, who's moved on to the ACC. And the way the bylaws go, the winner of the previous year's regular season will host the next year. So obviously we're next up for that. We're incredibly excited. I think anytime you get a chance to compete for championships in your own locker room, you get to sleep in your own bed and keep your home routine, we certainly will be at a competitive advantage. So we have high expectations for regular season championships. Certainly the preseason polls would indicate that. And we've got a great opportunity in front of us in terms of hosting the conference championship at home November 22 through 20.
You know, Kevin, when I look at the website, I just can't help but notice season tickets are available for Wichita State men's basketball. And there's a little bit of vibe going around on this. I mean, I know we're still a few days away from basketball starting, but it's just around the corner. Shoot, we'll be talking about it with you here. It just seems like it'll be tomorrow, but I know it's a few weeks. But, man, basketball has a little bit of a vibe going back on, and I'm assuming season tickets are going good. Fans are interested. And where are we at with Wichita State basketball in the coming weeks as we get ready to get full-fledged into basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. So both the men and the women are working really hard. You can go on to GoShockers.com and check out their schedules. They too, are scheduling really firm. You've got the men will start out on the road at Western Kentucky. You can remember we won that game by a toenail last year. In Charles Koch Arena, we've got a Montana State's been in the NCAA tournament two out of the last 3 years. Northern Iowa team base is very well. We play St. Louis, Kansas City, the 100 team. We spend Thanksgiving Day and the Friday after down in Kissimmee, Florida at the ESPN Events Invitational. We've got Minnesota on Thanksgiving Day at 11 a.m. And then depending on how the other game shakes out, we'll either get Florida or Wake Forest. And then back home for a couple, we're in Chicago against DePaul. We host Kansas State in Charles Koch Arena December 21st. So there's a lot of great opportunities there. I just want to encourage Shocker Nation to get on board. We've introduced two new season ticket packages. One is right at about $300 for the whole season in sections 125 and 126, a very affordable season ticket to give folks an opportunity to get into the building. And then we've introduced a high-end season ticket on the floor as well. We have created two sections, a total of 32 seats, 16 in each section, on the floor. Guys, if you're standing at midcourt and you're looking at the tunnel on the north side of the arena, there's one on the far left across from the visiting team bench, 16 seats in the end zone on the floor there. And then there's 16 seats that are bottom right next to our bench. And of those 32, I think we've got 19 of them sold. So we've got some availability on the floor as well. Folks should call 316-978-FANS. That's F-A-N-S. Get your season tickets today for men's and women's basketball. We talk about the women's schedule. Coach Nooner and the staff, I think Wichita is going to be really impressed with what they've accomplished in the offseason, particularly with recruiting and retention and the development of this squad. Play a really, really tough schedule. We've got Belmont at home, which is a perennial NCAA tournament team, Missouri State. We host Oklahoma at home. We play Creighton. We're at Kansas. We've got Western Kentucky at home. So there's a lot of great, great basketball that's going to be played in Charles Koch Arena. I would encourage folks to get both their men's and women's basketball season tickets.
We can't wait for basketball season. It's going to be awesome. One more thing, Kevin, before we let you go. We know you've got a jam-packed day today. Softball's having a groundbreaking of sorts. What is happening here in the next few days out there at the new facility with the renovation?
Yeah, Jacob, I appreciate you asking that. So we've talked a lot on your show about phase one of the Wilkins Stadium renovation, which is a $9.65 million renovation. Guys, we're about $2 million short of finishing that up. But as we sit at about $7.5 million raised towards that first phase, it's time to break ground on the indoor practice facility, which is a full 120 by 120 foot indoor. Fully turfed, it'll have a full indoor infield as well as nets that will drop for hitting and pitching tunnels. That construction actually begins next week, and so we're going to take a moment to celebrate a groundbreaking on Saturday morning. We'll host a breakfast within Heskett Arena at 9:30, which is right next to Wilkins Stadium, and then at 10:30 we will have a ceremonial groundbreaking event where President Mueller, myself, Coach Fred Benner, Lauren Lucas on our team, we'll all say a few words. There'll be some renderings. We'll get some folks excited and hopefully help us close that gap on the $2 million left. But just would welcome folks to come to Wilkins Stadium on Saturday morning at 10:30 and celebrate a momentous day as we break ground on a truly first-class facility. As it stands right now, guys, we've got a little over 100 RSVPs to the event, so we'll have a good crowd there Saturday morning.
And do people need to RSVP, or can they just stop by?
No, they can just stop by. Absolutely.
You know, okay, just there it is.
Can I get one more quick question? And I was on the website and I happened to catch, you know, there's a little list under NIL that has NIL store name, likeness, store. I clicked on the store and I thought, that's interesting, because I hadn't ever clicked on it before and I didn't even know it was there. And I noticed that you can get Shocker t-shirts and Shocker sweatshirts and hoodies and all those kind of things. And I was wondering, because that's listed under NIL, are those items that if somebody buys, do they somehow go to the overall NIL and to the kids? Or how does that work under, I was just curious, t-shirts and sweatshirts under NIL, what does that mean?
You know, I appreciate you asking that question, Paul. Yeah, we've got a lot of things on in the NIL space. I will share with you guys at a really, really high level, the collective distributed a little over $400,000 to our student athletes last year. We'll be up over $1 million this year. So we've seen some really, really nice growth in that area. A lot of that is attributed to the relationship that we've got with the Wheat Shot Collective, Blueprint Sports. As you guys know, Emily Hebert is the full-time GM for the Wheat Shot Collective and is doing a marvelous job. She's obviously was a member of our volleyball team. Hall of Famer. The NIL store, Paul, is an opportunity. It's a really cool opportunity for our student athletes to actually design apparel and gear. And we run its website. And yes, there's a portion of purchases that will go directly to the student athletes. So as you go on that store, if you click around and you search a little bit, you can see some sports specific, but you can also see student athlete specific gear. And all of that goes to our NIL fund and directly to those student athletes.
Thank you. I wasn't sure of that. Yeah, I'm glad to know that. No, I'm glad to know. Yeah.
Kevin, we appreciate it. Be good today. It's almost basketball season. We'll enjoy volleyball as it revs up and get out there and check out that softball facility. Shocker softball fans. Kevin, let's do it again in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, guys. You have a great day and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul. Hopefully a soon proud participant of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays with Paul and I. We can't get the fun haters, Tommy or Jad, to participate. But we're just going to keep going, Paul. You know what? We don't need anybody's approval.
I'm very disappointed in Jad, though. I can't hide my feelings. I mean, very disappointed in Jad. Very, very disappointed.
It's fine. I've been disappointing my wife with my Hawaiian collection for years and years. We ain't scared. We appreciate Kevin Saul. If you missed any of that, go back, listen to it on the Odyssey app. You can also go back and watch the interview on 12 News Connected on X. Those get archived there as well on YouTube. Lots of fun stuff. All right. It's back open. We've been back-to-back guests now. We'll open the IHOP hotline back up. 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. All you can eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's back open for you. We'll catch our breath a little bit. We'll regroup. I want to get Mr. Savage's initial thoughts on the Chiefs this weekend. I want to get his reaction to K-State, which we have not done yet. We talked a lot about KU football. Get his thoughts there as that Arizona game we've all been waiting for looms for K-State football as well. It's all here for you on Sports Daily. Albrock, Savage, Jad Chambers producing. Don't go away. Along here on a Wednesday of Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview being part of the program. You can get some great Hawaiian opportunities out there at Crestview. The golf shop, Paul, has lots of good shirt options and plenty of festive ones to get in the mood for these Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. We appreciate Crestview's support. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Paul, college football, I want to get your thoughts on K-State. We'll do that in the next segment. Just generally speaking, you're a college football junkie. It has been chaotic the first couple of weeks of the season. We've had tons and tons and tons and tons of upsets. This is the transfer portal. This is a good thing, I think. In conjunction with a 12-team playoff, it's an even better thing, right? Because teams that have these early stumbles, their seasons aren't over, and they may end up being the best teams by the end. They'll get a chance to prove it. But as we've seen anything so far, so I'll give you an example.
All right.
And I'll ask you for your biggest eye-opening Texas appears to be very for real and a national contender, even in the SEC for the first year for me. Quinn Ewers looks unbelievable. Quinn Ewers looks like the guy at one point who was this elite quarterback prospect in a rung you don't see all that often, and then it got off to a rocky start. Man, he looks fantastic. They appear to be all the way back. I mean, if you're a KU or K-State fan, kind of glad they're gone. You know, as much as that hurt the league financially, as far as on the field, you're kind of glad they're out of there this year. I think they've made the biggest splash slash statement, however you want to say it, early in this college football season. So as far as like biggest takeaway, I think that's it for me. What's it been for you?
Well, I think you're probably right on, sort of right when it comes to Texas. Let me just say that they haven't played anybody yet. And I know you're saying, hold on just a second, they played Michigan. Well, Michigan stinks. Michigan's head coach will be gone before the end of the year. Michigan is not a good football team. So Texas is, I think, going to be fine. I think they're going to be good. Who they played? Colorado State, I believe, was the first game. Then they played Michigan. And in our Friday picks, if last week, I made the statement that Texas is going to play Michigan, and Michigan stinks. And I know there were several of you guys that took Michigan. I thought to myself, this is the dumbest pick you guys will ever make. And so with that being said, Texas will be good. Ewers, it will be good. Ewers has already now kind of moved himself right up into the top two or three in terms of the Heisman, Andy. I mean, he's already there. In fact, I believe I heard a commentator over the weekend mentioned the name Ewers and Heisman all in the same sentence. So I think that that's where we're headed. But some of my takeaways are we've never seen a year quite like this where I'm going to make a bold prediction that by the end of the year there will be two coaches gone before the year's out. One will be at Michigan, and one will be at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame, did you watch any of that game? Because I probably watched half that game because I found it fascinating because it was like, can't take your eyes off of a car wreck. You know what I mean? You're driving by, you can't take your eyes. I mean, I could. Yeah. It was a total, you know, wreck that game. And it was kind of, I was watching and I was thinking, well, there's no way, you know, even as poorly as Notre Dame's playing there at home, they're not going to lose that game. And they lost. I make a prediction, two coaches, Michigan and Notre Dame, will relieve their coaches of their duties before the end of the season. Now, with
Derby's own Sherrone Moore there at Michigan. Well, certainly hope that doesn't happen.
I hope that's not the case, but they're not a good football team, I don't believe. We'll see what happens. But anyway, with that being – well, let me put it this way. Good is relative when you're the University of Michigan. Good is relative when you're Notre Dame. Good is a different good than if you're at KU or K-State. It's a different good. It's a different standard for good. Would you not agree with that at least? I think you probably would.
Sure.
But with that being said, my other takeaways are is that I think the SEC is going to be just fine. I think the
SEC looks really good.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think they do. I have questions about the Big Ten at this point right now. I've got a question about numerous teams. I don't know if that's going to be the powerhouse conference that we think it'll be. Now, I'm not saying that Ohio State's not going to be bad. I think they're going to be fine. But there's not going to be, you know, four or five teams that are going to be outstanding in that league that I have seen yet. Iowa got beat by Iowa State in the last few seconds of a game with a field goal. So I don't know where that league stands. The ACC, I think, is probably – I mean, when you take Florida State and when you take Clemson and both those teams aren't very good, those are kind of the guidelines for a good conference. So my feelings are right now, I think the Big 12 – is going to be a good conference, but I don't know who's going to win the Big 12. I don't know who's going to be the best team in the Big 12. And I'm thinking to myself that the Big 12 champion could have two losses. I don't know. Maybe, I don't think it'll be three, but there's always that chance. So my takeaway is that there is a lot of good teams, not great teams, good teams. Georgia, great team. Georgia, probably national champion. I've seen nothing from Georgia that would make me say they won't win the national champion. Right now, it's theirs for the taking, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they got a good quarterback and they always have a good defense. I think that we're ripe for a lot of teams being good. I think the transfer portal does that. I think we'll always have these elite teams, but I think it's been good so far. Mm-hmm. And I know it's been stressful so far for a lot of teams, especially a lot of teams that have high expectations. Of course, Kansas is one of those teams. You know, K-State is one of those teams. I get it. But we saw Oklahoma get put on the ropes. We saw Alabama get put on the ropes last weekend. We've seen Florida State crumble. You mentioned Notre Dame. I mean, it's been team after team. Oregon was on the ropes against Boise at home last week. Oh, like, it's over and over and over and over again. I do think Georgia's going to get tested probably this year by a team they shouldn't. They seem the most likely. If a team's going to run it through, it probably will be them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But,
I'm with you.
But what does that mean when you get into a 12-team playoff and everybody would be seemingly clicking on all cylinders at that point? You know, they are right now, but will they be later?
Well,
and that's where I think, you know, it's fine. Maybe Georgia is that juggernaut, Paul. Maybe that's what they are this year. They certainly have been in the past.
Look good.
But it's still going to be a better year because there's so much other interesting stuff happening all around the country. I love it. I think it's been awesome. I think it's been nerve-wracking, though, Paul, and that brings us to K-State. Survived Tulane. Survived. KU is the better team than Illinois and lost anyway. K-State, it feels like they survived that game. They can't do that again against Arizona. They probably can't do that again the rest of the way on their schedule, you know, if they want to win all the games, which I'll say it again. I don't think that's going to happen for any Big 12 team this year. This is not technically speaking, it's not a Big 12 game this weekend. So we look at K-State now, and I don't think they blew anybody away with their week one performance in the cupcake game. They certainly didn't against Tulane, even though Tulane's, to your credit, Paul, you were right. They're better than maybe we thought they'd be. K-State's got to be better than they've played, though. And I don't know, almost in a parallel to KU, I do think we need to reshift what the team is, what the identity of the team is this year. Wyatt Thompson was confident the defense could get back on track, but man, we got to see it, right? We got to see too many big plays, too many scratch your head moments with the secondary of like, are you kidding me? Like, how do they keep running wide open on these chunk plays like this? They're keeping right now, K-State's offense is staying off the field because the defense can't get the other team off the field. If K-State's really good and up to their potential this year, it'll be because their offense is fantastic, Paul. They got to be able to get them on the field more often.
Well, and there are some questions that I have with regards to the offense for K-State, just like I know you've got probably the same questions that I have. But, you know, you got Arizona. We'll know a lot more about this team after that game. You go to you have that game. I believe it's a home game. Yeah, it is a home game for K-State. It's going to be fun to see what happens in that game. I've got to watch that game just to get a feel. You know, isn't it interesting, too, that it's taken us 2 weeks to figure out who's who, what's what? You know, the portal has changed so much about what we think, about who's coming back, who's new, who's stepping in, who's gone. I mean, the portal is really one of those things. These are the moments where, and I know you and I like the portal for the effect that it has for young men, for their ability to make money on this sport that they love. But it throws us off. It's thrown me off, and it's taken me 2 full weeks. And I feel like I'll even have a better feel for who's who, what's what, who's going to be where after this next coming weekend. And I like that. That feeling, but it's taken me 2 weeks. It's taken me 2 weeks to figure this stuff out. Some of this, it has.
I don't think you will have that. And here's why.
Okay,
I think it's been so important to get 12 teams in, and why I think it's, you know, let's break it into two parts.
All right,
transfer portal. We're both fond of it.
Yeah.
We both like the idea of it. We both like the idea of kids who were promised one thing and not getting what they were promised, being able to move on and do their thing at the core of it. Has it gone out of control? Yeah, it has, but they'll get it regulated. So at the core, if you like that, what that's going to do, Paul, is have a lot of questions for just about every team to answer in the beginning part of a season. So while we've watched 2 weeks and we'll watch the third week, I don't think we're going to have a real good sense of who the best teams are, at least not in the middle, right? We might know who the 4 or 5 very best teams are, but for the remainder, for the at-larges, let's call them, I don't think we'll know until, honestly, we get pretty close to, you know, to nut-cutting time and we get there. Because all these teams are so new that it's going to take, it's going to take a while, right? For teams to be gelling at the right time. So while I'm trying to think of a good example of this, while Notre Dame, right? Let's start that. While Notre Dame lost a head scratcher to Northern Illinois, which if you'll recall, Paul, PJ Glasser, our betting insider last week, told us to watch that game. Does that mean they're not one of the better teams in the country? I don't know. But I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, in November, if nobody wants to play Notre Dame because they appear to be one of the best teams in the country. You know what I mean? Like some of these really good teams who have stumbled and who we thought were going to be really good probably are really good. You know, like they probably are a really good team, but they're not there yet. And in a 12 team, and maybe Notre Dame was a bad example because their path's not quite as clear. But in a 12 team, we should, by the end of it, be able to get those teams there. That's what I'm excited about. Like, who are the teams right now that we don't think of as some of the best that are going to end up actually being some of the best? I think that's why the regular season will be better, is because we get this longer period of time now to try and figure that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. The most fascinating thing about the playoffs for me, who are the final five teams in? I think that, you know, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. And sure. How do you decide who that is? Will one of the classifications for that decision be, well, who's playing really well at the end of the season? Or who is the most overall successful team
I think it will.
Go ahead.
Yes, I think it will. Because, you know, we might want to sit here and say, well, it's the entire body of work. But we were given a perfect example last year through Florida State of the committee taking an absolute human element,
yes,
of,
yes,
who do we think it is, because Florida State was, based on a body of work, it wasn't even debatable. But because they lost their quarterback, the committee thought, well, they're not any longer. So absolutely that's going to be a factor late. Who do they think is playing the best right now? Who do they think is? Because if their job, and look, it's a tough job. They get a lot of grief. But you're being asked to basically decide who you think the 12 best teams are. That's a very subjective exercise.
It is, yes.
Right? You could easily make it a computer decision and say, okay, it's X number of losses now because there are enough teams. Who had the toughest strength of schedule? A computer can tell you that, but that's not what they want to do. So they do bring a human element to it. So yeah, look, if Notre Dame and another team both have three losses and they're on the bubble, but Notre Dame has lit the world on fire at the end, even though maybe they haven't played as tough a schedule, they're probably putting them in because they think that's the better team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about that yet. I got to see it happen. I'm not going to give you a strong take on how I feel about that because I think Florida State got screwed last year. But Paul, the committee was probably right. You know, they probably got that right. Was there justice served or anything like that? No. But was Florida State at that point one of the four best teams? Probably not.
Not knowing what we know now.
And it aggravates me that they didn't get in. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to change now in a 12 team, but if we're being honest with it, I mean, you know, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
It's annoying and it was dumb and stupid and all those things, but it was probably right.
Right. There are people that have been saying, and you take Boise State, for instance, Boise State has been used, you know, prior to the season actually starting as one of those teams that'll probably get in like the 12, you know, one of those top 12 teams that will be in the play. And at this point now I look and I watched Boise State this weekend play a little bit. And let me tell you, that's a good football team. They're going to be
in.
Yes, they are. They're going to be in. That's going to be one of those football teams that will be in, and one of those football teams you don't want to play. There's going to be a lot of teams in major conferences that don't want to play Boise State.
I will not be stunned if it's Boise and Tulane competing for that last next best, you know, conference champion kind of a spot. I think they'll both be in the mix. Maybe we're overstepping it because we watched them and we're biased, and that's totally possible.
Right.
But I'm with you. I fell asleep to the Boise game. I'll be honest with everybody.
Well, that's okay.
Not because it wasn't thrilling. It was thrilling. It was just really, really late.
That's right.
It was a long day. But yeah, I watched a lot of that game, and Boise State did look really good.
Right.
I mean, Oregon, there's a good example of a team, Paul. Oregon.
Yeah.
They got put on the ropes at home against Boise State. Does it look right now like they're one of the top four or five teams in the country?
No, I'm going to say no, but I know you're going to probably say yes.
No, I'm going to say no, too.
Oh, are you?
But what I'm going to say is, are you going to be surprised at all if they are at the end of the season?
No, not really.
I mean, they certainly have the talent to be.
They
so that's – there you go. I mean, look, it's going to be a fun year. I love it. K-State, Paul, we'll finish this part of the conversation with them. What's the ceiling? Has your ceiling adjusted at all for them based on what we've seen for the first 2 weeks? You still think this is Big 12 contender? Utah lost a quarterback. Arizona hasn't looked good either. We saw Kansas lose. Who's the other one? Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's probably made the biggest statement so far, beating Arkansas like they did, even though they didn't play particularly well early. Have you adjusted at all with K-State and your expectations?
A little bit. I mean, I've been forced to. I didn't want to, but I've been forced to. I think we'll know a lot more about K-State after this game with Arizona. Arizona's a good football team, solid. They're going to come in, and they're going to be a big-time football program in the Big 12.
I mean, they beat Northern Arizona at home by 12. They scored 22 points.
Yeah, here's that NIL gathering up and, you know, getting to know each other thing that I think it is. But with that being said, Tulane also was, you know, I think an opportunity for Kansas State to show what they can do. And Tulane was better than we thought, obviously. By the way, is that stadium a dump? I've never been there. Have you ever been there?
That's what I've heard. No, I haven't been there. I've never been to New Orleans, actually. No, I have not been there. Okay. That quarterback was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big time. You know, really, that's a first year head coach. If you have
eyeballs, you can see that quarterback's good.
That's
like,
right.
He was good.
He was.
I think they're fine. I wonder. To me, this is the biggest game of the year, not just because both teams are ranked and the implications are so high, just because I think it really does give us a chance to see K-State. What I want to see is K-State play well, and I'm not even talking win or lose here, just play well, because I don't think they've played particularly well in either of the first 2 weeks. They're 2-0. But it just doesn't feel like they're anywhere close to their potential yet. Let's take KU on the other side, maybe as an example. Outside of Jalen Daniels, I think we're absolutely seeing KU play as well as we thought. And so for K-State, I don't know that we've seen really at any level them play up to their potential. So that's what I want to see. Like, what is the best of K-State? Because we have not seen it, not even close, in the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to. And then how does that stack up if they can play that style of football?
Because if I was to come on this radio show over the years and say Tulane will be as physical, if not more physical, than Kansas State, you would have laughed me out of the studio, wouldn't you? You'd have said, you're crazy.
Yeah, totally. But they are. I mean, there's no question they are.
That's right. So with that being said, that's where the worry is. Because sometimes it becomes difficult to coach up physical. You know, a lot of times you either have it or you don't. But, you know, there's things a coach can do to, you know, drills and that kind of, you know, explosion drills off the line, those kind of things. You do those kind of things. But the University of Kansas, and I made the comment with Sharius, I said, you know, it looked like to me that this offensive line is better than it's been in a while. In fact, a long while. It seemed more physical. They were able to run the ball at times with ease at times. And that's the one thing that I like about Kansas. That's why at this point, I need to be convinced by K-State just how good this football team can be. Because if it can't be physical, then it can't be Kansas State football. Because Kansas State football goes to the bank every Saturday on being a little more physical than the next guy. And when they're not, it usually does not work well for Kansas
State.
There's
a chance that that's not the identity of this team. Possibility totally exists.
What?
And if that exists, then they're going to need to be one of the more explosive offenses in the conference.
Well, thank you for that, because I did not see any indication that was.
No, that's what I mean. We haven't seen that yet either.
Okay.
And I think, you know, with Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards added to the offense, I think we could see it. All right. So here's something cool. We've mentioned this before. We have this new feature on the Odyssey app where listeners can leave. It's essentially like leaving a voicemail or a voice text. There's like a little microphone icon on there if you listen to the show through the app, and you can record something and send it to us. Now, we have told you about that a couple of times. We have not had one of these yet. Jad says we got one from Ron. So this is a voice message on the Odyssey app. Ron left this probably through his phone. Jad gets it and can now take it to the air. I have no idea what this is going to say, right, but Jad says we have one. Let's roll the dice here. Jad, what did Ron have to say in his message?
Why don't KFH or HTO come out with Hawaiian merch?
Wow.
Listen.
Oh, my goodness. I love
I can... HTO has t-shirts. Uh-huh. I'm not sure, but listen, tomorrow, Paul, you'll be in with Tommy because I have to go down to a big important corporate meeting with them, and maybe I should propose that. Why don't we have a Hawaiian? I will propose it just for you, Ron. And just down the hall there, Paul, is Tony Deusing's office.
Right.
And maybe you do need to stop by. You know, we're always looking for branded swag. Why don't we throw a case? Right. Andy Reid does it. Right. Andy Reid just like irons on Chief stuff to his best Hawaiians, and that's what he wears every day. Mm-hmm. Well, I need you to stop by Tony's office, Paul, and make this happen.
Next break, I'm heading right over there. It's right down the hall. I'll have an answer on
it. Excited. Tony's going to be so excited that somebody used that voice message feature. Let that be some of your ammunition to get this done, Paul.
I'll have a report for you on the other side of this break, what Tony said.
There's that for a tease. Thank you. Thank you, Ron, for doing that. By the way, it's easy. On the Odyssey app, there's a little microphone. Just do it. That's first time. So a maiden voyage there. Nice job, Ron. Good idea. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to come back. We'll hit on some of the other headlines here around the sports world in our last full segment of Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in on the fun. We had a great experiment there. Our first voice message in through the Odyssey app. Ron thinks we should get some KFH-branded Hawaiians to help celebrate Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. I'm not sure how much pull I have to get them for HTO, Ron, but I'll try. Paul, you may have a little more pull there. KFH Studios.
Yeah.
What did you find out from upper management on
that? Well, upper management is directly Tony Deusing, who does a great job for us. But he said, yeah. He said, why not? He said, now, Jacob, you're on your own for your own H2O stuff. That merch, you got to figure that out.
But
right now, I think I have a commitment from Tony. Tony says he's on board. Tony even said he's going to start wearing a Hawaiian shirt on Wednesday himself.
Yes.
See, it's okay. It's one at a time. It's one person at a time. Paul, that's what we'll do.
Paul, do we need to provide the Hawaiians for them to put it on, or is this all inclusive here?
That's a good question, but I'm not sure. But I think it's going to be all inclusive.
That's my goodness.
That's the feeling I get.
Paul, I'm a size medium. So if this is your charge in life,
yes.
I'm a size medium. Let's get some KFH Hawaiians, and then Tommy will be really, really.
I am not going to shut up on Tony until we have our way. Power to the people. Power to
Thank
the people.
You, Ron. So thanks we're for joining this. The but movement, Ron.
Ron, if you're listening, somebody who knows Ron, if he's not listening, tell him Savage is going to buy his first Hawaiian merch shirt. I'm going to pay for it out of my own pocket because, Ron, you're a cutting-edge guy. How's that?
I like it. We appreciate you. It sounds like Kevin Saul. Happy to join the movement. It's happening, Paul. It's happening.
It's happening faster than I thought. Yeah.
We appreciate it. So tomorrow on the program, you will have Paul. You will have Tommy. You'll have Tim Fitzgerald to dig a little deeper into K-State. They'll dig in certainly a little bit on the Chiefs. I'll be back Friday. We'll make our picks. Paul went perfect on the week, which is troubling. Paul, do you actually put any money on these things that you know, you're not Nostradamus? I mean, your reasoning on these games sometimes is wild and wacky, but here you sit
at
the top of the standings.
You know, I should be, but I'm not. I'm just not doing it. But, you know, I maybe should start. Maybe I should, you know, I'll be very judicious in how I do it, obviously, which is what you want to do. But yeah, you know, I know my stuff. Why not?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way they want you? Oh, they want
Clearly.
The guy, they want Clearly. Those guys that think they know their stuff, don't they? That's the thing. See, I said that just to make a point.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hey, by the way, the video stream's available for you always on 12 News Plus Connected. A great way to take in the show if you're out of the car, if you're listening, the Odyssey app. We love that we're in this fall season, which is always the most fun time to be doing this. So thanks, everybody, for being here. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today, what to look out for here this evening and throughout the day. That's coming up as we wrap up a Wednesday, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.